Last week we started, not last week, 2 weeks ago we started the malacha of dash, of threshing. And we talked a little bit about what the malacha of threshing was, what it involves, how it applies to Bizman Hazeh, how you break the husk from the kernel, from whatever's inside of it, and you extract the kernel, the seed from the husk, and that's dash. It doesn't really apply so much Bizman Hazeh unless you are in a place where somebody takes out a nut that they took straight from the tree, and you have to break the outer shell. That's the only time. That's one of the few times that dash would apply. However, there's going to be some subsets of dash, some toldot that are very applicable. So the first one that we're going to be talking about today is squeezing lemons. Specifically, we'll talk about squeezing lemons into tea, which is one of the more common things you would squeeze a lemon for on Shabbos. I guess you could also squeeze it maybe into salad dressing or squeeze it onto a food. Squeezing it onto a food is something we'll talk about next week. This week, we'll talk about squeezing it into tea.
Squeezing lemons
into tea.
Is it the same as squeezing lemons into water?
Yeah, it'll be the same thing, yeah. Yeah, it'll be
lemons,
the same thing.
Limes,
it'll be the same thing. Squeeze. Yeah, well, lemons and limes might be in their own category. We're going to see why those maybe in their own category. Maybe they might be, they're going to be a bit unique, which is why there's a question involved whether you could in fact do it or not. So in case you're wondering why squeezing, how squeezing, schita, is related to dash, Rabbi Ribiat, which I typed out here in Source 1, it tells us that squeezing is related to dash, because the juice is being extracted from the solid fruit in which it was previously absorbed, right? In the same way that grain is detached from the husk. Sorry, that's a typo. And peas are extracted from their inedible pods, right? Just like we talked about 2 weeks ago about extracting the grain from the husk that's outside of it, dash is extracting the juice from the fruit, which is going to be a toldah of dash. The pulp or the meat of the fruit, being a solid, is useless wherever a liquid form is required. Right? Usually, when you squeeze out your juice from your fruit you're using, the fruit you throw away. There's nothing really you can't do. You can't use the orange anymore. If you make fresh orange juice and squeeze the orange out, you're going to use the juice and you're going to throw away the other thing. Just like the grain from the husk, you crack open the husk, you throw away the husk, and the threshing, you take out the thing inside. So Rabbi Ribia continues, hence, the juice with respect to the meat of the fruit is similar to the peas vis-a-vis their inedible pod. The squeezing process is thus equivalent to extracting a separate entity from its casing. Right, that's what we're doing here. We're extracting juice from the fruit, just like you extract the grain from the shell, from the casing, and that is what dash is. So this activity involves the basic elements of the malach of dash and is therefore a tolda, i.e. mifarik. That's the name of the tolda. So this is how squeezing relates to dash, and that squeezing, just like dash, is extracting the thing that's on the inside from the thing that's on the outside. So to schita is extracting the juice from the fruit. So now we're going to talk about it. So the Mishnah in Source 2, the Mishnah in Shabbos, says, Chavit shenishbara matzilin emenu mazon shalosh sudot. If you have a barrel that breaks, you can save enough for three meals. Omer la'acherim bo v'itzulu lachem. If something breaks, you can tell others to come save it too. We're not going to talk about the details here. Bevat shalo yisbog, as long as you don't soak it up. We're going to probably talk about sponges, because sponges is also part of schita, of squeezing something out. We'll talk about that probably in 2 weeks. That's what we're going to, after we do the foods, then we'll go to using sponges on Shabbos and various issues involved, and maybe ways that it could possibly, some types of sponges could possibly be allowed, but that we'll talk about in a few weeks. Here now, the underlying part in Source 2, Ein sochten et haperut lahotzi mehen mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit to remove the liquid from inside of them. Right? The mission is pretty clear. You can't do it. You can't squeeze fruit on Shabbos. There's going to be lots of details. V'im yatzame atman asur. And if it comes out on its own, you have juice that just seeps out on its own, you're not even allowed to use it. Okay? You're not allowed to use juice. Again, this is the Mishnah. We still need to come to the Gemara. We still need to come to the Shulchan Aruch. We still need to talk about how we paskin here. But the first opinion of the Mishnah says, you can't squeeze fruit, and if you do, it's awesome. And if it just comes out on its own, it's awesome.
What
and
Rabbi, what that meat comes out on its own?
Seeps out on its own. Let's see. Seeps out on its own. Or...
you just by holding it, it'll seep out.
Yeah, if you put a lot of fruit in a barrel, there's going to be at the bottom probably some of it that seeps out. Or an example that I need to do a bit more research into, so we'll talk a little bit about this next week. Perhaps cutting, I don't know if this is the same thing necessarily, but cutting some fruits, you're going to cause the juice to seep out. Or, here's another example, seep out on its own, and we're going to talk about this at either the very end of this week or the beginning of next week, is if we assume you cannot squeeze a lemon out into Shabbos, you would definitely be able, no matter what, you could take the lemon whole and put it into your tea, the wedge, even though some of the juice from there is gonna just come out on its own, let's say. Right. So there's gonna be details there. And Rabbi Yehuda said, what?
Dates as well, that just oozes, doesn't it?
Dates ooze, yeah. No, they don't. They're like sticky. I don't know how that comes. Doesn't ooze. I don't know. I think things. Right, lemonade is going to be a question. Lemonade is a great example of something that we're going to also is going to be go hand in hand with everything we're talking about today.
They call lemonade, not what we call.
Could you make? What do you call lemonade?
Something that's carbonated.
So what would you call? What do you call our
lemon juice?
Lemon juice. But we have our lemon juice is just the right. Isn't the lemon juice that's just the stuff you buy in the store that's very that you don't you can't eat you can't like you put like a little drop on something because it's concentrated.
Lemon juice.
Oh, that's different terms.
Divided by common language.
Squeeze lemons into water. Yeah, we're gonna talk all about all these things are related. We're gonna talk all about them. But the Mishnah, the Mishnah says is that you can't squeeze fruit on Shabbos. So the Gemara then clarifies. The Gemara is a long Gemara. It's a two blot of Gemara here. So we're really only going to do a little bit of it. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Mem Hey Amud Aleph in Source 3. Gemara says Gufa. So back to something that I had spoken about earlier. Kvashim Shesachton. Kvashim are something that's pickled. We're going to talk about that next week too. Let's say you have it's going to be different than. Pickling is going to be different than regular fruits because a regular fruit, the juice is inherent to the fruit. Pickle absorbed the water from outside of it, and now it's retained what it absorbed. So kvashim, things that are pickled that you squeezed, amarav legufan mutter. If you squeezed it because you wanted your pickle to have a bit less juice in it, right? It was too juicy for you. You wanted to get some of the juice out. That's okay. But limimehen patar alasar. If you squeeze it because you want the liquid to make use of the liquid for something else, you wanna. I don't know if this is possible. You want to use that liquid and use it again to pickle the next batch of things, let's say. You want the liquid. If you want the liquid, that's patra v'lasar, that's iser derabanan. Vishlokos, bein leguvan, bein lemimein mutar. And Rav says things that were cooked, vegetables that were cooked, which also would absorb water if it was cooked in water, he says that you're allowed to do. We're going to talk about these other cases in the future, next week. Shmuel is going to give his opinion on these two cases, on things that were pickled and things that were cooked, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to give his opinion. So now, we're going to talk about this in detail when we come to it next week. But Meisve, so the Gemara asked a question on this. The Gemara has a price that this is you can squeeze something that was pickled, so it's a question on everybody up till now who said you can't. Fine, we'll talk about the details next week. I even cut the answer because we're not focusing on that. But the Braita continues. You cannot squeeze olives and grapes on Shabbos. And if you, in fact, squeeze the grape or you squeeze an olive on Shabbos, that's usur d'oraisa. It's usur d'oraisa to squeeze a grape or an olive on Shabbos. Chayv chatos. Now, then I skip the answer. Now we're going to have a few confirmation of this. We'll talk about this. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav Dvar Torah. You're only chayev for squeezing olives and grapes. That's it. Squeezing on Shabbos, asur d'oraisa, the only two things the Gemara tells us are olives and grapes. And also the base medrash of Menashe, Dvar Torah midoraisa, eino chayev ela al drisa zeitim vanavim bilvad. Only olives and grapes. So now the question is going to be, What's so special about olives and grapes? Why would we say olives and grapes are the only two things that mead or raisa you can't squeeze out on Shabbos?
Species or whatever.
Or what?
About seven.
Okay, excellent. That's going to be one of the Rishonim is going to talk about. He's going to talk about the importance. He's going to talk about the importance of these things as opposed to some of the other things. Okay, so that's going to be one of the answers. We're going to have kind of practical ramifications that we're going to see aren't really so practical at the end. Okay, yeah. Okay, so again, Gary, were you going to say something just now?
No.
Okay. The question is, what's so special, what's unique about olives and grapes that the Gemara comes along multiple...
I was going to say that because he mentioned Drisa.
I think Drisa here, Drisa just means crushing.
That's your feet.
Right, okay. Which hints to what? What does that hint to? What does it hint to crushing with your feet? Right, what we argue is the fundamental purpose of these two things?
Make wine
and make Olive oil, right? Yeah. These fruits are probably the only two, at least then, that were the only two things that we would say that these are not really as much for eating as the purpose of them is to squeeze out the juice, right? With a possible ramification of that being that if maybe nowadays there's other things that the main purpose of them is to squeeze out the juice, it could be that that's Asur Daraisa.
Yeah.
Just like those things. For example, there's I don't know, probably millions of acres of orange trees in Florida and elsewhere. The sole purpose of those is for the juice. They're not for eating, they're for juicing. So it could be that that might be that if that's the case, then it would be also d'oraisa to make orange juice on Shabbos, if that's true. Okay, so everything we just said outside now, we're going to now see in the Rishonim. The Rishonim give various reasons for these two things. So the Rashi, right under this Gemara, says, Dvar Torah, Kolomar, Asra Torah Malacha, V'dricha Zeitim V'anavim, Hu Dehavya Malacha, that crushing the olives and the grapes is the malacha. Val shar dricho lab or chay b'hachi. This is an important phrase. Rashi says other things, it's not the normal use to crush it. V'lav malacha nenu. It's not common to press or to crush other kinds of fruits or vegetables, so therefore it's not the malacha. Meaning it's very common to crush olives to make olive oil and very common to crush grapes to make wine. But other things, it's not as common. So what we would extrapolate from here, from this Rashi, is that if things were the normal use of those were to crush them, to squeeze them for the juice, it could be that those things would be also deraisa also. Could be. Okay, that's like what we said before. If, depending on the reason for the olives and the grapes, we would then know whether to apply it to other things that nowadays are much more commonly juiced. Okay, the Rashba in source 4 also tells us a reason that probably could apply to other things bizman hazeh. So the Rashba says, Ela pirush mishum desfira lehu kitana de bimenashe, damad lakama besamach devar Torah, eno chayv ela dricha zeh demanavim bilvad mishum deruban lemashkin. Those things, and this is one of the other things we talked about before, this is in the second line, 4 and 5 words in, deruban lemashkin. Most olives and most grapes are used for their liquids, therefore you're chayv. But other things, if the majority isn't used, then it wouldn't be also doraisa. And again, we would extrapolate from here. Anything that we would say now, the majority of them, I don't know if not majority necessarily means 51% or just a significant use of them, right? If there's a significant use of these things on Shabbos, it could be that it's Asur Daraisa today also. So for these first two reasons, that Rashi says that we talk about a normal use of something, and the Rashba is about what the majority of that use is, we could extrapolate that juicing an orange or juicing an apple, right? Apple maybe today, there's apple juice is very, very common, right? Squeezing those things for the juice could be Asur Daraisa. So the Ron in Source 5, one of the other great Rishonim, right here we're seeing how the Rishonim explain what's so special about grapes and olives. The Ron tells us something different. He says, Ela hachi taima lefi she'enu chayv ela adrichat zeitim va'anavim bilvad. He says that these are really the only two things that are chashiv lemashke, that are we would count as a mashke, as a liquid. So what does this mean? What does it mean that olives and grapes are the only two things that we would count as a liquid? So the Primei Agadim here kind of elaborates on this, and he says that there are seven kinds of liquids that are machshir something to be makabel tuma. To be makabel tuma, it has to be wet, and not everything is going to count. It comes up in a lot of places here. He quotes it here from the ship from machshir and perach vav mishnah dalid that he says. So the Prima Gadimir says, "B'taim b'dein chayav kim zeitim v'anavim." So first he quotes Rashi, and then he quotes the Ron. And in the second line here, he says, "Gabik vashim d'zeitim v'anavim havim mashke." Mishiva mashke machshir from the seven kinds of things that are machshir something to be mekabel toma, that the seven liquids that count to allow something to contract toma. So what the Ron here is telling us is that zeitim ve'anavim have an independent chashivut. They're inherently more important than any other liquids because those are the only two liquids that could allow something to become tame. Meaning, now to extrapolate from this, right, for Bizman HaZeh, you would not be able to extend the Zeitim the Anavim to anything else. Because even if we say that everybody squeezes oranges Bizman HaZeh to make orange juice, that doesn't matter because the orange juice is not going to allow something to be Mekabel Toma. It's not chashuv. Okay? So these, again, these are the two reasons. This is a bit theoretical, but the two reasons, the two reasons for why Zaytin and why olives and grapes are the things that the Gemara says are deraisa, either it's because it's the normal use or the majority of the use is for liquids, and if there would, Bisman is dead, there would be something else we would use for liquids, we would use to drink, we'd say, okay, that could be also deraisa to squeeze that on Shabbos also. But according to the Ran, since grapes and olives are inherently more chashuv than everything else, we would say, okay, those are the only two things that are ever going to be also deraisa to squeeze. Everything else could be also derabanan. Okay, this is just some of the reasons for our schita, where we're still ways removed from the practical aspects of this. So, Rav Rimon in 7 elaborates on this a little bit in English. According to this, he's talking about the Ran. The special law of the liquids which come out of olives and grapes for purposes of dash relates to their special status in other contexts. For example, many Rishonim, on to page 2, maintain that grape juice and olive oil are the only liquids subject to the requirement to separate tithes, right? Because they're inherently more important than any other kind of liquid. Similarly, grape juice has its own special blessing when drunk, right? That was the only kind of juice that you would make a different bracha for when you're drinking it. So this approach may be better understood in light of the basic concept of emloch of dash. Now he's going to explain how this fits into dash, which we kind of saw earlier from Rabbi Rabiat. As we have seen, dash is the completion of the creation of the fruit, right? That's what the emloch of dash is, the completed act of creating a fruit. That's why we said when we talked about dash 2 weeks ago, if something is normally done in the field, you do it in your house, you're chai for dash, because you just completed the act of creating the food. But if you would bring it from the field into your house as is, and it's kind of edible as is, and it was already completed before you brought it into your house, that's not dash. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. So with other fruits, the creation of the fruit ends when it is plucked from the tree, at which point they transition to preparation as food, right? Most fruits, as soon as you take it off the tree, right, it's prepared for you. It's edible, ready to eat. But regarding olives and grapes, on the other hand, their harvest does not conclude with the process of creating the food. Rather, their juice has a special status, a significance which exceeds the significance of the fruit itself, such that it stands to reason that the full preparation of these fruits is completed only when the juice is extracted, right? Extracting the juice could be the final step of preparing the food. Therefore, their schita, squeezing it, is forbidden by the Torah because of dash. Right, because we normally use these foods to make liquids, we say that when you take the grapes in from the tree, then they're likely to be used to crush to make juice, to make wine. To make juice and to make wine. So when you bring them into your house, when you crush them to make wine, you're preparing them for their final state, and that's what the Malach of Dash is. The Malach of Dash is preparing a food for it, preparing something to turn it into food. Okay, fine. Be that as it may, this was all a bit theoretical. We're going to see now the Rambam in sources 8 and 9. And I left out the Gemara. I told the Gemara is very long and back and forth. So we're going to see the conclusions of the Gemara from the Rambam, and then we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, and then we're going to talk about why everything here was probably less relevant than it seemed. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perechet Halacha Yud, source 8, says, Hasochet et haperot lahotzi me mehen chayv mishum mefarik. If somebody squeezes fruit to take out the juice, the liquid, they're chayv mishum mefarik extracting. You're chayv for schita. Schita is the same thing as extracting. You're chayv for extracting the juice. So then, ve'eino chayv achi b'mashkin shesacha kigrogeres, only if you did it for the amount of a dried fig. Now, ve'ein chayavin min ha-Torah, into the second line, ela adricha zeitim va'anavim bilvad. Mid oraisa, you're only chayav for olives and for grapes. Okay, we'll skip the rest of the Rambam, we'll probably come to that in a different week. Source 9. What does the Rambam say now in Source 9? Perchav Aleph is the dinim de Rabbanon in the Rambam. Mifarek chayav mishum dash. Extracting, like squeezing liquids, is told of dash. It's chayav for dash. V'hasoche zeitim anavim chayav mishum mifarek. And if you squeeze out olives and grapes, you're chayav for extracting. Right up to now, nothing different. Rama didn't add anything different than he didn't tell us earlier. But now, lefichach, and Rama gets this from the Gemara, lefichach, asur lischot tutim virimonim. Therefore, it is also usur to squeeze tutim from the Gemara. I don't remember where I saw this. Probably didn't mean strawberries like we have it. It was probably a different kind of a berry, but still a berry family. Virimonim, pomegranates. It's usur to squeeze berries and pomegranates. Because some people squeeze these things like olives and like grapes, i.e. you squeeze pomegranates and you squeeze berries for juice. They turned into things, these things are the, in the times of the Gemara even, things that you would make into juice. Therefore, you can't do them, Shema yava lischot zeitim v'anavim. Because if you do those, you might then end up squeezing olives and squeezing grapes as well. Meaning that the Rabbanan came along and said, Mi d'oraisa, you can't squeeze olives and grapes. Mi d'rabbanan, you cannot squeeze berries and pomegranates because some people squeeze those for their juice to drink. And we don't want you to get confused. We don't want you to then go ahead and squeeze olives and grapes, which is usur d'oraisa. So this is the Rambam. The Rambam just told us one more category. Again, he got this from the Gemara. That there's things that people drink that are not, that are used to drink, but it sounds like miksas b'nei adam, maybe not everybody does it. Things that people drink is going to be usur d'rabbanan to squeeze. I.e., the Rambam's not going to give us this example because things changed from his name to our time, but apple juice and orange juice. Right, because people squeeze those things to drink, even assuming from before and that they're not usur d'oraisa, right? If we would assume like Rashi, or we would assume like the Rashi, but they would be usur d'oraisa because people now squeeze those to drink. Even assuming like the Ram that they're not chashuv, they're still usur d'rabbanan to squeeze because people squeeze it for the juice. You squeeze it to drink, it's going to be usur d'rabbanan. And then third category in Rambam of al shar peros kigon prishin v'tapuchim v'ozardin. These are different kinds of apples. Quince, a regular apple, a crab apple. Shar peros, right? I.e. things that nobody squeezes. Mutter lesochtam b'shavos b'nei she'ena b'nei schita. You're allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. So three categories. Category one, grapes and olives, also d'oraisa. Category two, anything else that some people squeeze to drink the juice of it. That's going to be also d'rabbanan to squeeze on Shabbos. And category three, anything that nobody really squeezes is going to be mutter to squeeze on Shabbos. Because you're not, the whole point here, well, mi d'oraisa, schita, the zeitim, and the anavim, because that's, the mashke is either chashuv, or because people are using the liquids, but something that is hard, you hardly ever use the liquid for, I think we'll see how the Orach HaShabbos ends it up later. Something you hardly ever use the liquid for, we can't consider that to be extracting liquid if that's not a normal use of the thing. Or it's not normal to extract liquid, we're not going to say that's extracting liquid. Okay, yeah, question, we can ask a question? Oh, okay, so three categories now. Again, things that are usur d'oraisa, things that are usur d'rabbanan, and things that nobody ever squeezes. If nobody ever really squeezes it, the Rama says that it's mutter to do. Okay. Again, keep in mind we have to take lemons. We're trying to get to squeezing lemons, which may be unique.
Tomatoes are not foreign to this thing.
They make tomato juice? Tomato juice.
They could.
They make tomato juice. It's sold in stores, isn't it? Isn't it like V8 or what do they have? They have these drinks that are like tomato juice.
Tomato juice, apple juice.
So this is where I was going to make this point later on, but this is what we're ultimately coming to after this, is that because bismanazet's a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. The good thing, everything is juiced, right? It's great for the consumer. Great for you can get anything. The juice of almost anything is sold. You can walk around Yerushalayim and they have all those juicing places that have everything. So that's good, but that would make it that probably because of that you can't squeeze any of those things on Shabbos anymore.
Yeah, but it's not done by sweet. It's done by pulping the things. Carrots. You can't squeeze a carrot, for instance.
However you would make the juice, yeah.
But you can't squeeze it.
Right, it's not squeezing. It's crushed. I think the postcard says the same thing. You crush it so that the juice seeps out of it. It's going to be the same thing, yeah. It's the same. Fundamentally, it's the same thing. Right, extracting juice from a fruit or vegetable, however the extraction process is. Okay. No, it's a good point that it's not the same process, but it's...
Yeah, but you couldn't do it on Shabbos for other reasons. Because you couldn't practically do it.
Without a machine.
Machine.
Okay, for some of these things, yeah. Okay. So this is the Rambam, right? Isser d'oraisa. He told us that there are things that are d'rabbanan and things that are matur. So now, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch says Zeitim ve'adavim aser l'sachtan. Right? Shouldn't surprise us. It's aser de'oraisa. Wow. The Mishnah Berurah fills that in. Aser de'oraisa to squeeze olives and to squeeze grapes. Ve'im yatzo me'atzman asurim. And if it seeped out on its own, it's aser. The Mishnah Berurah here fills in aser de'rabanan, because if you eat the liquid that seeped out of the grape, that might lead you then, you'd get confused, you forget, whatever the case may be, you're then going to end up squeezing the grape itself to get the liquid out. With these things, even if you took them inside your house to eat them, right? You say these are not wine grapes, these are eating grapes, it's still going to be asur. Okay, next, v'tutim v'rimonim, and now berries and pomegranates, asur l'sachtan, it's asur to squeeze these things, not asur d'oraisa, asur d'rabanan. V'im yatzome atzman, and if they seep out on their own, if you had these pomegranates to eat, right, Rosh Hashanah, you have your pomegranates in the bowl, and everybody takes their pomegranates. And at the end, you see that there's some little pomegranate juice at the bottom of the bowl. Because that pomegranate was for eating, you're allowed to eat the liquid that seeped out, because you're never going to think, oh, I'm going to go then squeeze out more of the liquid, because the whole point of that was, in the first place, was for eating, was not to squeeze out the liquid. V'im omdin l'mashkin, this one the Shulchan Aruch says, aser, but if they were supposed to be things that you squeezed out, you cannot drink the liquid that squeezes out from there, because you might then come to squeeze it for the liquid, which would be aser. Or aser d'orban in that case. V'shar kol peros, and now, again, our third thing from the Rambam, all other kinds of fruit that we don't usually squeeze, mutar l'sachtan. You're allowed to squeeze them on Shabbos. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah Zion. We'll skip the first ones. He's going to tell us, why is it mutter to squeeze something that is normally not used, normally not squeezed on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah says in Zion, skipping down to Zion, Mishum de omdin la'achila, because this is ready to be eaten, v'leika debailu l'mashkin, v'ein shem mashke, ala yotameyhem. Right, because this fruit is not usually nobody drinks it. It's a fruit that's for eating. There's no shem mashke. It's not considered to be like liquid when you squeeze it out. V'have kimafrit ochel me'ochel, because nobody drinks it. Right, even though using the word. If somebody squeezed, I couldn't even think. It's hard to even think of an example. What's an example of something that nobody ever, of fruit that nobody ever squeezes for their liquids? Anybody have anyone? Any examples?
Maybe banana.
Banana. Anybody? But a banana, right? Right.
It's a fruit.
Right. Banana juice. Okay. Fine. Good. So let's assume that's true. Okay. So because there's a banana. When you squeeze, if you can get some juice out of the banana or avocado, or you can get, they put all these things into these shakes, sure. Also, though,
peach,
don't they?
Yeah.
Peach, no, those you get juice for. But those they get juice for.
Put those things in the drink.
Two banana, right.
It's only because they pulverize it in a machine.
Right, but I assume there's juice involved. I assume there must be some juice involved.
It's the same thing.
There's got to be some juice involved. But you're right, two banana they have. Okay.
Carrots, you see juice coming out of them.
Okay, fine. Let's assume avocado. So the avocado, when you squeeze it and some juice comes out, according to the Mishnah Berurah, he said we're not going to call that. It doesn't have a shem mashke because it's just part of the fruit. Even though using our words we would look at it and say that's liquid, but it halachically it doesn't have the status of liquid because it's not for drinking. Nobody ever drinks it. If nobody ever drinks it, it doesn't have the status of a liquid. That's the important part of you. It's like you're separating food from fruit, from food, which you're allowed to do from borer. You're gonna whatever, you satisfy your borer conditions, and that'll be okay. And we noted with dash also, separating food from food is totally mutter. The whole problem of dash, which is our av malacha here, is separating the food from the inedible shell. But if you're squeezing the juice out of the avocado, both of those are considered to be food. You're separating food from food. There's no problem of dash anymore. But that only applies if you never ever use the liquid. Once people are drinking the liquid, it's then going to have the status of a liquid, and when you squeeze it out, that's aser d'rabana. Okay, so now, again, we're going to try to get through the... Okay, we'll see if we can get through this. Back to source 10, the Haggadah. The Ramah here tells us, Uvimakom shenahagu, going back to source 10, Uvimakom shenahagu lischot eze perot lishtot meimav machmat tsama otanu, in a place where people squeeze a certain fruit to drink it, either because you're thirsty or because it's enjoyable, it tastes good, dino kitutim verimonim. It would have the status of the berries and the pomegranates, i.e. any place where people squeeze something to drink that kind of juice, and that becomes a normal practice, that would have the status of tutim verimonim and would be also derabanan to do on Shabbos. So we're going to skip this, but there's a long Mishnah Berurah here who quotes the Acharonim, who all wonder about whether this is a local-based practice, i.e., if in New Jersey everybody squeezes avocados for juice, so then it would be usher for a New Jerseyan to squeeze. But for a person in New York, if nobody in New York squeezes them, then it could be mutter for that person. Or the Rishonim argue that once it's mutter, once it's common in one place, then we say it's usher for the rest of the world, more or less.
That makes more sense.
More or less, unless they also they this is a factor that's thrown in. Unless in our example, unless they would have avocados in New York and nobody does it, right? Let's say if everybody in New Jersey squeezes avocados for juice, but there's a different place where nobody's ever seen an avocado before, and all of a sudden somebody brings the first avocado to that place and squeezes it for juice, right? On the one hand, nobody squeezes things for juice there, but on the other hand, maybe if everybody had avocados, maybe they would do it. It's just that they don't have them. So these are questions here that the Acharonim will talk about within this question here, which Bizman Hazeh doesn't really apply to us at all because everything is everywhere. It's gonna be hard to we don't really have a question of something that's used really only for juice in one place and it's not available or people in another place aren't doing it. It's really everything is all over the place.
It's a global world.
Yeah, it's a global world. For good, mostly for good, but then you can't squeeze it on Shabbos. Okay, so now we had our categories. We're gonna skip to source 13, which is gonna kind of point out what we just said. The Shmira Shabbos says kol pri aser lischototo. It is aser to squeeze any kind of fruit l'toch kli reik or l'toch mashke into an empty cup or empty pot or something or l'toch mashke or into another drink. Doesn't matter if you do the schita with a kli or with your hand. Now we're gonna come to that in a minute. We're going to come to it in a minute, but we already know the Shmira Shabbos is it's also now to squeeze lemons into tea. But if we jump down to the bet, which is his footnote here, he points out that why does he say kol pri? I underline this. Every pri is also. We just said that there's some kind of perot that there's a pri that is not normally squeezed. You could do it, and the Shmir Shabbos says every single pri is also to squeeze on Shabbos. So in source in footnote 2, he says that if we know that nobody ever squeezes that kind of thing, then it would be mutter. But at the very end of footnote bet, shekayom underlined, regilim lischot kol minei peor. Basically today, we squeeze everything. Almost everything. Almost everything is squeezed, therefore it's usher derabanan to squeeze it on Shabbos. But if you know that this thing is not ever squeezed, then you could do it on Shabbos, right? Which is a very, very limited category of things if you can even think of one. Which basically made our whole practical discussion, our whole discussion up till now, the only relevance it may have is whether something is usher d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but just about everything is going to be usher to squeeze on Shabbos, just about everything. Which now leads us into our last 10 minutes or so, into the question about lemons. What about squeezing a lemon into tea on Shabbos, or into water, or into any other kind of beverage? So why is a lemon different than everything we've had up till now? Why? What's different? What's different about squeezing a lemon?
Because you don't need a lemon.
You don't. Yeah. What do you have to do?
You only use the juice.
The same thing with. Okay, fine. Okay, that could be. But if assuming you want the juice, what's different about lemon juice than any other the juice than from anything else?
Well, you don't drink it out. Well, I suppose you do drink it.
You have to dilute it.
Okay, you have to dilute it. Exactly. Everything else, oranges, apple, I don't know exactly how we make the process, and probably today we add things that you don't necessarily have to add. Everything else, you squeeze and you drink it. Lemons are probably, maybe limes, I don't know the history of limes and where they appeared and when, but fine, lemons and limes are probably the only things that you squeeze it, you can't drink it, which leads to the question, what is that considered to be a moshke? Is that considered to be a liquid or not? Because if it's not a moshke, right, you could do it. So the question, so in the rush, they asked him, it's a short line and a half in the Rush. Vishesha alta aschita limonis. You asked me about squeezing lemons. Nira shehem bichla shar peros. He says, I think that you could because they're included in the other kind, in the fruit that are not normally squeezed on chop, not normally squeezed for juice. Shemuter lesachtan she'ein derech kla lischot limonis litzorech mashka. People don't do it. If people don't squeeze it, it's okay. So which then would now add up to the problem of, okay, well, where the Rush lived, right? Nobody squeezed lemons, so therefore he said you could squeeze it on Shabbos. But what about in a place where lots of people squeeze lemons and you usually drink it? Could you do it on Shabbos? Or not? From his logic, it sounds like you can't do it. From the logic, once it becomes something that's normally squeezed for the juice, maybe you can't do it. So the Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Kara, the Shulchan Aruch, in Source 15, tells us a minhag in Mitzrayim. He says, "V'yesh le'moa." He says, "We have to deal with something." Shebe Mitzrayim noagim lischot limonis latoch mayim shenatnu behem sukar lishtot litanu. In Egypt, right, Egypt had a pretty ancient Jewish community. I don't know the history, but they were there during Beit Sheni, and I don't know if it ever stopped. Meaning the Egyptian Jewish community was very old. And everybody there squeezed their lemons into their drink to drink it. They wanted the lemon juice. Mm-hmm. And nobody objected to this. And nobody prevented them. Nobody objected to their actions. Nobody questioned it, right? It was just the common practice in Mitzrayim to squeeze lemons for the juice into a drink. How's that mutter? Once it became something that people were drinking, it should have been aser. It should be aser derabanan. Once people squeeze it for the liquid, it should be aser derabanan. How come in Mitzrayim everybody was squeezing their lemons into their drinks and nobody objected? They're great Rabbanim in Egypt. Nobody told them otherwise. So the Beis Yosef gives two answers, of which are going to be very, very important. He says, first answer, maybe schita is only aser if you drink the juice, if you would drink the juice plain.
Pure.
If you would have to dilute it or add to it or do something to make it drinkable, that's mutter. Schita is only aser when you drink the juice that comes out of the fruit. If you cannot drink the juice that comes out of the fruit as is, schita is mutter. So now we can understand why you could squeeze, why they were squeezing their lemons into their drinks, because lemon juice is not something that you can drink plain. So now, based on this, could you squeeze lemons into tea? Yeah,
you could.
Yeah, of course you could, because lemons are not something that you drink plain. Lemons are something that you need something else to join in with it, to dilute it, to mix with it, right? Bizman is that nobody drinks. If you want to make lemonade, you got to probably take a lot of sugar and a little bit of water and a little bit of lemons, and you got your lemonade, right? Nobody drinks lemons plain. Therefore, according to this rationale, you could squeeze lemons into your tea on Shabbos, because lemons are not something that you drink plain, and schita only applies to something that you would drink the juice that comes out of that fruit. Okay, the first answer. His second answer is going to be something different. Inami. Delo mitzar elekisha sochtin meimav levad viachar kach ma'arvin otam. Aval im haminag lischot meimav letoch mashke acher shari. He says, schita is only usher if you were to squeeze something into some type of empty container, empty barrel. If 100% of the time you'd squeeze something into a liquid or into something else, that's not schita. That's only going to go flavor the water. But once you squeeze something into a barrel that is just sitting there by itself, schita is going to be aser, derabana. Again, derabana.
Even lemons.
So now, okay, yeah, even lemons. But in Mitzrayim, they weren't doing that. In Mitzrayim, they were 100%, they were just squeezing it into their drinks. It was never an independent liquid that sat in a barrel and had its own status as a liquid. So now, applicable to nowadays, this reason doesn't apply. because when you're making, we have a big market for lemonade, right? You squeeze it out into its own barrel, you keep it separate, and then you turn it into lemonade. Yeah. Right, so according to the first reason of the Beis Yosef about why the people in Egypt squeeze their lemons, if we say the reason is because you can't drink it plain, then that would apply nowadays too, and you could squeeze your lemon into Shabbos because you still can't drink lemons. Nobody drinks lemon juice plain. But if the reason is because in Egypt the lemon was never squeezed into a barrel that it had its own independent status as a drink, and it just went straight into the other beverage, then in Mitzrayim that was the case. But nowadays, where we squeeze our lemons into big barrels, big barrels to drink, then you could not squeeze your lemon into your tea on Shabbos. So now, few more minutes to go. 5 more minutes here. The Shulchan Aruch. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? 3 words in source 16. It's from Hilcha Shabbos, Shin Chaf Si Vav. Mutar Lischot Limonis. It's allowed to do. What doesn't he tell us? Doesn't tell us the reason. Right? Because we just said the whole thing, to figure out the Bizman Hazeh, if you could squeeze lemons into your tea on Shabbos, is what's the reason that the Shulchan Aruch allows it? Is it because the juice is inherently not drinkable, in which case today also the juice is inherently not drinkable, you could squeeze it into your tea? Or is it because it never had its independent status, because in Mitzrayim they just squeeze it directly into the tea or into the water, but they didn't have it separate in a barrel, in which case, Bizman Hazeh, because we do have it separate in its own barrel and we make it into lemonade and other lemon drinks, then it would be us or Bizman Hazeh. He doesn't tell us. So now, not surprising, we're going to have a machlokis in the Achronim and in the people that have the comment on the Shulchan Aruch about what the reason is. We'll do a little bit outside and we'll read there. I have 2 sections here in English that we'll see inside. So the Magen Avraham in Surah 17 understands that the Shulchan Aruch is going with his first reason, that the juice, nobody drinks lemon juice, and therefore it's always going to be mutter to squeeze. According to the Magen Avraham, you could squeeze the lemons into your tea on Shabbos. The Mishnah Brura takes the opposite approach. So the Shulchan Aruch is going with his second reason, that they never squeezed lemons into independent barrels. But he says, Bizman Hazeh, the Mishnah Brura says, Bizman Hazeh, because we actually do this, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah says this. He says, in the first line, he says, Bizman Hazeh shememalin chavit lemeo lishtot im panj. I don't know what that is. Pei aleph nun shin. He says, Bizman Hazeh, because people squeeze lemons into barrels by the lemeo for hundreds of people, right? You have big barrels and you squeeze a lot of lemons into it so that you can then turn it into other drinks. He says it should be usher. So we have machlokas here. I was thinking it was punch, but yeah? Okay, could be. Punch. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay, good, fine. So according to the Magen Avraham, you could squeeze your lemons. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you could not. The Aruch HaShulchan in Source 20, again, we're just doing this outside because of our time limits, but he's going with the first reason. He's Mekel. He says even the people that are usually Machmir here, he thinks even they would allow squeezing this because it's never ever going to be a Mashka. Nobody ever drinks it plain. Nobody in a million years would ever drink lemon juice plain. It's always going to be, he considered it to be like a condiment for the food. It's always just going to be something extra to flavor it, which is an ochel. It's an ochel. You're taking an ochel from an ochel. He doesn't even understand how anybody could be usher, say that squeezing a lemon into your tea on Shabbos is usher. So in source 19, you could read this. At home, but Rabbi Jachter, one of my high school teachers, he quotes. He says that he spoke to Rav Schachter in YU, and Rav Schachter thinks that the Shulchan Aruch was going with the first reason because of his. He just said that it's mutter. Sounds like it's totally mutter under any circumstances. Mm. That's what it sounds like. Be that as it may. So now, what's our conclusion here? So if we take a look in source 21, Rabbi Jachter, this is from that same article that he wrote. So he says, contemporary authorities continue to disagree regarding which opinion to follow, and one can find people who follow all of the aforementioned views. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik and Rav Ovadia Yosef rule in accordance with the lenient view of the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, and the Aruch HaShulchan, right? These are major poskim here, that one may squeeze liquids directly into liquid, even in a place where people squeeze lemon juice into empty containers. I.e., Rav Ovadia Yosef and Rav Soloveitchik follow the way the Magen Avraham understands the Shulchan Aruch, and the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains everything, that you're allowed to do it, because nobody would ever drink these things plain. Nobody would ever drink lemon juice plain, therefore it's not considered to be schita. It's not usher to do on Shabbos. You could, in fact, squeeze the lemon into your tea on Shabbos. But, he continues, Rabbi Eider, and Rabbi Neuwirth in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and also I saw Rabbi Ribiat also quotes this, they agree with the Mishnah Brura that, and we omitted this, the Mishnah Brura gives a suggestion that the Shmir Shabbos says also, is that if you squeeze it onto sugar and you'll be okay, that's going to be something for next week. You're allowed to squeeze liquids onto solids. Okay? Because the...
So you could put it onto salad.
So you would be able to put it onto salad, yes. Yeah. Yes. So they say squeeze it onto the sugar, that's a solid, and then, which was mutter to do, like I said, next week we're going to talk about squeezing liquids onto solids, squeeze it onto the solid, and then put it into your tea, and then you're okay, no problem. So for them, they would not allow you to put it into the tea, but then he quotes Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, that one should follow the Chazon Ish, which we didn't really talk about, who doesn't even allow you to squeeze it into the sugar in advance, but he says you have to do it before Shabbos. Either do it before Shabbos or put your lemon wedge into tea. So basically, the question is going to be now. The question, or we'll do a summary of what we had here. Can we put can we squeeze lemons into tea on Shabbos? So first, we talked about squeezing anything that is commonly drunk is usher, maybe deraisa, maybe derabana. Anything that you would squeeze for the juice, and that's just about everything bismana zeh, can be usher to squeeze it on Shabbos. Lemon could be different.
Squeezing lemon on fish.
Right, so fish is a solid, so we'll talk about the details next week, but usually squeezing it onto solids is okay. Yeah, you would be able to squeeze it onto a fish. So, but squeezing it into liquid is different because you're saying that the liquid that comes out is retaining its liquid form, right? You're that's why it's different than squeezing it onto solid. Squeezing it onto solid, it's more of a garnishment than it keeping its liquid form. So what about the question is about lemons, because lemons are something that maybe you wouldn't necessarily eat plain. So it's going to be it's going to really come down to how we understand the allowance of that the Beis Yosef says that the Egyptians all squeeze their lemons into their water, into their drinks on Shabbos. Either it's because you don't drink lemons plain, so therefore it never has the status of a liquid, and in which case even Bisman Azeh you could squeeze it out, and that's what Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Salvechik say. Or we could understand the Shulchan Aruch's allowance of it is because you don't squeeze it into barrels by itself. You just squeeze it into another liquid, which we would say, well, nowadays, since we do squeeze it to keep it as its own separate liquid with its own with an important status, that you could not squeeze lemons into tea on Shabbos, like the Mishnah Brura and like Rabbi Eider and like there's a Shmir Shabbos Kilchos and like Rabbi Ribiat, and or we could even say that you can't do a bichlal, and they say to do it into sugar, or we could say not even to do a bichlal, even into sugar. The Chazon Ish didn't like that because he thought that the whole thing was if you're putting it into sugar to put it into liquid, that's the same thing as just putting it into the liquid in the first place. He didn't like this whole squeezing into the sugar thing.
Sugar dissolves, doesn't it?
Sugar dissolves too, yeah. So at the end of the day, we had a topic maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago where we said that I don't know how you paskin this. It's a hard thing to paskin because there's heavy hitters on all sides here. So Rabbi Jachter concludes this: consult a competent rabbi for guidance. I wish I knew like how you would evaluate these kind of things. But if anybody sees a competent rabbi for guidance, please ask them and let me know what they have to say, because this is an interesting question. But if you already have a practice, or if the minhag in your community, like you go and you saw a rabbi doing X, or you were in a place where it's common to do it, there certainly is going to be a strong basis to rely on, whichever side that there is.
The way, of course, if you make